Welcome to Kingdom Come, the podcast that models how to walk like Jesus walked.
We're trying not to laugh this morning, but we are. So that's the first time my daughter's heard my Monster Rally truck voice, so she's adjusting to that. So today's an amazing show, you guys. So just so you don't know, a little backstory. The title of today's show is The Prayer Tent at Concord Market Days. If you're just tuning in, I've been doing prayer tents for 6 years, and this was kind of our first one. We did some street evangelism about a week ago in Portsmouth, but this was our actual first tent, and we partnered with Kingdom Awakening over in Kingston, New Hampshire on the coast. So two of the folks that helped go to that church and that setting, and so I wanted to have them on because we just had an amazing couple days. And so we've got my daughter, Alicia Spiewak, here.
Hey, what's up?
Alicia's been on before. And we've got Kelly here. Kelly Mock, right?
Yes. Hey.
Kelly is basically a legend on the streets, especially in Pennsylvania, where she hails from. So if you're listening from Pennsylvania, in the rural areas, in the backwoods. So we're going to dive in and just share some stories. The reason I like to do this is not to puff us up or, you know, make us sound amazing. It's to let you know that the lost art of the power of the Holy Spirit and the moving of God and all of this stuff is still very, very real and active and for the everyday believer. And so let's dive in and share some stories for the folks listening. And you're going to love these stories. So who wants to go first?
Yeah, well, I have a few. Well, first off, it was honestly just super powerful being part of it. I think it's a little bit stretching for me. It's kind of outside of my comfort zone, but I'm finding that, like, the more you do it, it's wild how energizing it really is. And it really stretches you. And I feel like as you like all these other people are getting so ministered to, but it ends up really ministering to you as well. Like, I personally got so touched by talking to people and praying for people and just got so full of joy and the Holy Spirit and his presence just throughout the whole time. And,
Don't share names, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause so we can protect, you know, people's privacy and
right.
Some of the folks I reached out to, and asked if we could have permission. And so don't share names. So right. The way I like to do it is, I'll just say, like, high school grad guy, mm-hmm. Satanist woman, witch lady, that kind of cool. stuff.
Witch lady.
And we had all those, by the way.
We did. There's this verse. I mean, honestly, also to rewind a little bit, we had probably like the hottest 3 days of eternity so far this summer. It was like 90 and scorching and the sun was like blazing into our tent. So by like, you know, the 10th hour on the second day, you're like, am I gonna make it?
For those who don't know what Market Days is, it's basically a street fair that has upwards of, on normal years, upwards of 50,000 people over 3 days. They have like maybe 6 streets blocked off. There's art streets and, you know, I would say there was probably 180 to 300 vendors. They had over 100 bands. They have stages in 3 areas. Like, it's a massive street fair. So yeah. What I do is rent vendor space. I pay the money. Mm-hmm. I rent vendor space and I go preach Jesus on the street. So that's a little backstory for those who don't know what a prayer tent is.
Right.
And then we just basically heckle people in a kind way, based on, you know, the shoes they're wearing, the t-shirts, their hair, like anything we can do to strike conversation. And we're not necessarily pushing a church. We're just putting people on Jesus. We're trying to give them an encounter and a breakthrough.
Right.
So, yeah, go ahead.
Right. So it was wild. The thing I was like really meditating on was this verse, which we've talked about even on Sunday, but it's in 2 Corinthians 12. And it says, "My grace is always more than enough for you, and my power finds its full expression through your weakness. So I will celebrate my weaknesses, for when I'm weak, I sense more deeply the mighty power of Christ living in me. So I'm not defeated by my weaknesses, but delighted, for when I feel my weakness and endure mistreatment, when I'm surrounded with troubles on every side and face persecution because of my love for Christ, I'm yet made stronger, for my weakness becomes a portal to God's power." And it's wild how, well, first off, we did face some persecution, obviously, like people were, you know, a little upset that we were doing what we were doing. But even through that, and even through like sometimes you just hit that wall of just being like totally exhausted and just like, Lord help me. It was crazy. Like when your flesh is just completely down and you feel like you have nothing left to give, how much more the power of God just, it says, finds its full power in your weakness. And so I was just like, it was always, I always had the best times ministering when I just had literally like there was nothing left in me and the Lord would just move so powerfully.
Yeah, we weren't there 5 minutes in. The guy next to us was banging. The second we put worship on, I don't even know if we had the worship on yet. He started banging his head against the tent. The lady next to us was like, you know, we won't even go into how much she was like manifesting within 35 minutes.
Right.
Like screaming at us. And are you going to play that music the whole time? And
right.
Just, so it was great. We kind of knew like, woohoo.
Right.
Yay.
Yeah, the attack was definitely there, but that's when you know that the Lord's about to like bust through, and we saw his power work very mightily the last few days. A lot of physical healing. The Lord was really working through me in that area, which was really powerful. We had a woman with a cane. She was kind of hobbling back on the side of the road, and I asked her if she wanted to just sit down and get some shade for a little bit. Turns out she had in her right knee just like bone on bone, like there was no cartilage in between. And I was asking her how much pain she was in. She was in pretty severe pain. So I just said, you know, we believe Jesus is the healer and we know that your pain is going to completely disappear. And we prayed for her and all the pain just totally left. And she was so, so happy. I've never had this response, but she just got up and started dancing like wildly.
And she was like 75.
She was like older. And she was just wildly dancing, and she danced down the road. I was like, we were all laughing, like, wow, just full of the joy of the Lord. And she was like, well, what do I do with my cane now? And we were like, well, we're gonna take it from you. So we took her cane, and it was kind of like our little trophy for the weekend. It was kind of fun.
Yeah, we hung it up in the roof of the tent. It's like, yeah. Our, you know, like our artifact.
As we were praying for her, I took it and I was leaning on it, and she goes, is she gonna keep that? And Alicia's like, maybe.
No, we took it.
No, like, we kept it.
I'm going to burn this. I'm going to throw it away. So, yeah, there was a lot of those. We had people in wheelchairs standing up. We had all kinds of really just amazing healing testimonies, people getting radically, instantly healed of crazy things. This girl named Tay, she had, sorry.
That's okay.
She had.
Bleep, edit.
She had neck pain from the last 18 years. I guess she fell off of a horse and needed to keep having acupuncture or something like in her neck. And Callie and I actually prayed for her together. And it was just amazing.
Yeah, because, she was there a while. I remember that one.
Yeah, we prayed with her. Probably, man, we were talking to her for like almost an hour, I feel like. And
did she believe in God or no?
She believed in angels.
She believed in angels. And yeah. She knew there was something, but mm-hmm. She never really put a God label on it. So we were like, okay, we kind of preached the gospel to her before right. We even brought her into the tent to pray for her.
Right.
And she was just amazing. She left feeling better. Right. And she's like, I'm going to try to bring my husband
and
back.
And that was the lady that fell off, had a horseback.
Horseback accident 18 years ago.
18 right. Years.
And her neck basically got healed. Her neck or shoulder.
Yeah, her neck. Yeah, her neck had been fused. Mm-hmm. They fused her neck together and she was always in pain.
Always.
Yeah.
And all the pain left.
All the pain.
Oh, yeah.
All of it.
She was completely.
Actually, in fact, when we asked her, how are you feeling? She said, conspicuous. That was her answer.
Conspicuous, yeah.
Because she said, all of a sudden, like I said, well, what did it feel like? And she's like, I don't know what happened, but it felt like somebody put their hand on my neck. And we were like.
Our hands were not on her neck.
That was the Lord. And so we talked about the power of God. And then I had a dream that night that she came back and got saved and baptized. So I'm still believing for that.
So Kelly, why don't you hit us with one?
Yeah, so there was this gentleman that came by in a wheelchair, excuse me, and he needed, he wanted a dream interpretation. We were saying we could interpret some folks' dreams, and he kept having this reoccurring dream, and he was from Australia, was only in the States for 2 weeks because of this dream. And he had kept having this dream that he was in an auditorium. Well, first of all, he was listening to
that guy. Yeah,
he was listening to the explosion of the Challenger on an old cassette tape, and he kept having a dream that Krista McAuliffe was in an auditorium teaching him, and then had said his name, and then he'd wake up. For those of you that don't know, the Challenger explosion, space shuttle got into the air, exploded, the whole crew died. He was born afterwards, so he wasn't even around when this happened. And so we were able to just minister to him and interpret this dream. Turns out it was pulling up a lot of things from his childhood and trauma. And we just prayed for him after, and that would just, you know, he would find, he was looking for her grave ultimately. He was here to find out more.
From Australia?
From Australia. Yep. Only here. He was from Melbourne. So he was only here for 2 weeks looking to find anything that he could about her. He felt really connected to her because of this dream. And, afterwards had just been like searching out everything about her and her life, and found out she was from this area, and found out that her gravesite was in this area. So he was at the fair just, you know, in his wheelchair rolling around, just killing time. And then he had already looked once when by the time he had come to us, and he said, it's kind of behind a school, so I didn't want to be that guy. And so it's okay. We prayed for him and all this stuff, and just prayed that the Lord would direct his steps when it came to finding the gravesite. And I actually saw him again on Saturday in a different part of the fair. And I talked to him and I said, hey, like, how's everything going? Knowing he was leaving on Sunday. And he said, I found it. I found it. And it was all the way back in the top part of the graveyard. And he goes, I don't know why it'd be all the way back there, but I found it. And I spent some time, and I feel like I've gotten some closure. And he goes, you guys really helped me understand the dream and everything that was, it was targeting. And so we got to minister to him a little bit, which was a big highlight for me, seeing somebody. He came so far just because of this dream.
That's wild.
And then ran into us and helped him kind of understand a little bit of that. So,
that's cool. Yeah, I had a similar thing. I had a woman call me probably 3 weeks ago. She Googled New England deliverance, and I guess I came up first, which is hysterical because I have no like SEO and no marketing, and I've touched my website like maybe 3 times in the last 5 years myself between 2 jobs and a wife who's been challenged in her health. And so we spoke once briefly, and she gave me approval to share her story. But basically my understanding through the phone call was that she wanted to be part of the prayer team. She said, I've been studying deliverance for the last year since I gave my life to Jesus. And I've listened to 35 hours of Derek Prince online. And she's like, I can't find like-minded believers. And I said, you know, I know a pastor down there. It would be great for you, because she was out of Lowell, Mass. And she's like, I just want to be around people who believe. I said, why don't you come to the festival, and you can be a part of the team, and you can meet my friends from that area, you guys. And so she did. She drove all the way from Lowell, Mass to the festival. I had never met her. She walked up, and I said, oh my gosh, you know, so nice to meet and connect. And I said, well, why don't you briefly just tell me your story? Because we didn't get to do that on the phone, because I was calling her between, you know, Zoom calls at work. And she goes, well, do you want the whole story? Yeah. I said, you know, hit me with it. And she said, well, at the age of 7, my dad was a pimp. And by the age of 8, we were learning, you know, blood sacrifice and animal killings. And she said, my whole family was part of the occult. And at this point, I'm like, oh, no. not a good idea to have you on the prayer team today, but in my head. And what's funny is after the whole day, like, she admitted that. She said, I'm not in the place to be a part of this today. But thankfully I had a pastor friend, John Marshall, who you guys have heard me talk about on the show before. And John, like, I called him over because she was asking me all these Bible questions, and that's not my gift. And so John was able to minister to her for about 20 minutes and write about 8 or 10 questions out for her, and basically coach her on how to start reading her Bible and where to start and what to do and what questions to ask God. And while they were talking the whole time, I'm thinking, oh man, like, I wonder if she's been water baptized. We bring a horse trough with us when we go out. It's a 100-gallon horse trough that we baptize people in. And you guys have heard me say this before. We baptized 40 kids during COVID, and they were getting healed in the tank. And So I quickly interjected and said to her, hey, have you ever been water baptized? And she didn't know what that was. So we gave her a quick little spiel on that. And she was like, yeah, let's do this. And mind you, she had a dress like a summer dress. And so I threw a double XL Need Prayer t-shirt over her, and she got in the tank, and we baptized her. And when she got in, she was like, she was pretty dramatically, you know, she was getting delivered. You could tell she was kind of, you know, and stuff was definitely coming out, and stuff was definitely going on. And we dunked her, and her whole countenance changed. She was basically beaming. She said, "I felt all this stuff leave me." I said, I saw it leave you. It was a very moving moment. And she hopped up out of the tank and off she went.
In fact, actually, I remember her saying, she said that she felt like five knives were taken out of her back.
Yeah, she was dramatically touched. And I know I've talked to her since I checked up on her, because we've exchanged, you know, info. And she said, I had a really rough day that night. And I just want to encourage you guys listening, like sometimes the healing is a journey. Sometimes by going through something like this, there's residue like at the bottom of a glass that if you pour dirt in, and when it gets stirred up and it settles again, you can sometimes have residual interference in the spirit realm. And so I'm going to keep working with her and get her in touch, either have her start come visiting you guys or John's gathering at his home or us or... and stick with her. But it was pretty exciting. The tent was at that point like kind of in an uproar. Yeah, we were all like,
we were busy.
At that point, Callie was also talking to a
woman. Yeah, right after that, I was actually speaking with someone else as they were baptizing this woman, and she only came in for prayer. She's starting a sobriety journey from meth, and she was just like, "I really need prayer and help for strength." And I was talking with her for a significantly long time, and she had seen her be baptized, and she's like, "I want that." Mm. And I said, she's like, "But it's hard. Nobody will talk to me because I am this way." And she tapped a pendant that was a pentagram with the pride flag behind it. So we just talked for a very long time. I prayed with her, asked her what made her that way, like what made her a witch. She said, "I was born this way. My family, my mom, my grandma."
Yeah, she identified herself as a Christian witch.
Correct. Yeah.
Sure how that works, but
yeah, we didn't get into that. But so I prayed with her, and she prayed to receive Jesus, to make him Lord of her life, Lord of her heart. And I said, "Well, do you want to? You know, is that something you definitely want to do? You definitely want to be baptized?" And she said, "Yes." And so a few moments later, we baptized her. So that was crazy. I was like, "Oh,
have you ever baptized anybody?"
No, I had not. I actually, she said,
I made Callie do it. You know, so basically, Callie, get over here and dunk her.
Yeah, she goes, "I want to be baptized." So I was like, "Okay, give me just 1 second." And I walked over to Alicia.
Yeah, Callie comes over and she's like, "Hey, so how do you baptize somebody?"
You know, I've
talked. And then she goes, "Get my dad." So I went to Scott.
I've talked about this before, and you guys have heard me say tacos in a bathtub.
Yeah.
You know, the revelation I had when we started baptizing all these kids a year ago was, right, you know, when 3,000 got added to the church in one day, you know, again, most of us have only seen a special baptism Sunday. So part of my assignment is to disrupt religion. Mm-hmm. That's why I've been sent here. And so I love disrupting religion. And so most of us have seen, like, you got to go to a class. The special people up front do the baptizing. And then one day I realized if 3,000 got added in one day, like that would have taken Peter like 4 weeks and doing baptisms all day long by himself. So everybody must have contributed. He must have been like turning to his group, his tribe, saying, "Everybody grab someone and start baptizing." And so I do that in the tent on purpose, because I wanted Callie to know she can baptize. Like, you don't have to wait for a special Sunday. Like, if you meet someone in the grocery store and they come over for dinner and they have never been baptized, fill your tub.
Fill up the tub.
Fill up the tub. And that lady came back again and brought a friend. I don't know if she had a meth dealer with her. I think he was a dealer outside the tent. I mean, we can't say that he was, but he certainly fit the bill. And she came back and brought a friend who wouldn't come in. He was afraid. He sensed something was, you know, he was manifesting basically. Yeah. He had pink and white fingernails, young kid.
He knew there was something going on that his spirit did not settle with.
He was uncomfortable. Yeah. But these were like within a span of, I would say 25 minutes, we baptized a former occult Satanist and a Christian white witch within 25 minutes in the morning. And so by that point, my nitro had fully kicked in and I was like doing pushups in the corner.
Right. And after that, I needed another coffee.
Exactly. Another cool baptism. Speaking of baptism, we had a girl, she was in a wheelchair. She was with her mom and she had been diagnosed with MS. And so she was kind of violently, I would say, trembling of sorts. And she obviously had a hard time speaking with us and whatnot. But she was just one of the most sweetest, I think, compassionate people we met the whole time. We just absolutely ministered to her. She was just so full of life and joy. I just felt the joy of the Lord all over her. And we kept giving her word afterwards. She kept receiving all of it. And
yeah, it was cool. I had that word for her about all the lights coming on in her house.
Yes, yeah.
And then her leg had a lighthouse tattoo, which I didn't see until the very end. And Collins pointed that out. Right. And then her mom had the very same tattoo, and so does her brother.
Wow. Right.
So it was really cool.
Right. Wow.
And I didn't see that when I gave her that word. It was really kind of exciting.
There were some just absolutely incredible words that were just so spot on. And all of us were getting, you have to understand, like the power of God at this point was so strong. All of us were just like so overcome with the presence of God.
And she could feel it too.
She could.
And so could the mother.
Yeah, we all were just getting super ministered to in that moment. And at one point, me and my pastor, we decided we would, you know, grab her and let's just walk. Let's just
no,
take
she asked.
She did.
Yeah, she said, hey, but this was about 20 minutes in on her own. She says, I want to get out of this chair.
Mm.
And we were like, it was kind of like the guy with the sick bed, like get up and walk.
Right.
And we were like,
yeah,
okay.
She said that was her dream, right? She said, my dream's been, I just want to get up out of this chair. I remember that now. That's. And so we did a loop around the tent. And at one point when she turned the corner, she stopped trembling entirely. And by the time she got back to the chair, there was no shaking at all in her whole body. And my dad then at that point asked her, like, have you ever been water baptized? Do you want to be? To which she was kind of unsure, but I think maybe it was more the environment. And so my dad, I think, is going to go over there and baptize her.
Yeah, I told her, you know, I do mobile baptisms now, and so I can fit that in the backseat of my truck. I said,
have trough, will travel.
Yeah, someone told me we should paint on the side, we deliver, which I'm probably going to do because it's just so me. So I offered her mom, I don't know if that was her mom or her caretaker. I thought it was her mom.
I think so.
Yeah, so I wept over her when we first met. I just could not stop weeping because I know what it's like to take care of someone like that, and she seemed open to it. And so I gave her my card and I said, she lives up on the east side. I said, I'd be glad to come to the house. Mm-hmm. We can fill the tub. We can have barbecue and dunk you.
Right.
And she was like, I think I might be open to that. So it was really kind of cool.
Yeah, we did definitely preach the gospel to her as well. And she was definitely super open to it. So I wouldn't be surprised if when my dad goes that she does give her life to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm going to have probably one of you do it.
Right.
Not me. Mm-hmm. So just an FYI, Callie, you're going to get real good experience.
I think Alicia's up. I think it's Alicia's turn.
Oh, no.
Oh, we should get Tori. Let's get Tori to dunk
Tori,
someone.
Tori right
Yeah,
up.
She's due. She's overdue.
Well, it was crazy because when you guys were ministering to her, I was on the other side of the tent interpreting a dream. Mm. I think it might have been the guy from Australia. I can't 100% remember. Mm. But I remember like the presence of the Lord was in that tent. Like we had two tents side by side. So we had a decent amount of space. And like, I was just like, what's going on over there?
Yeah, it was like, really, you know, it was really an encouraging moment for all of us in the tent. You could sense the mojo going on. And by that point, everyone's high-fiving.
I mean, it talks about, you know, that heaven rejoices over one person getting saved. And you just felt that the whole time, the whole weekend, every time somebody had just an amazing testimony, we would all just rejoice together. Mm-hmm. And that just kept everybody so encouraged. And it was fun, honestly, doing it together. We would switch off partners. We would go out in teams. We would kind of rotate people, and somebody would stay in the tent. Someone would go out of the tent. And that was a really cool dynamic, like figuring out the
flow. Yeah, we had street teams basically, so sending people out and walking the festival. And we've really kind of become known at the festival for our t-shirts. And I got a funny story that, you know, one of the things that really blesses me, just on a personal level, is that because we've done this now for 6 years, that we have what I call repeat customers. You know, they've been coming for all 5 years. And one of my buddies, Norm, you know, Norm came the first year. And Norm and I actually met at Soulfest. Norm loves Striper. Yeah, the heavy metal band that plays at Soulfest. I don't know who they are, but he's got the tattoo. And so Norm comes every year 4 or 5 times. And so he couldn't find us. He was walking the streets. He kept asking around, where's the prayer tent? Which I just get the biggest kick out of. And so Norm found us and he came 3 or 4 times. And finally, the 4th time, I said, you know, Norm, you need a t-shirt. And he was like, oh my gosh. I've been wanting a t-shirt so bad for all these years. So I gave him a shirt and I said, you know, why don't you, you're just going to become an honorary prayer team member. He was so blessed by that. And then he started telling me a story how he prayed for a woman at church with a cast and her arm got healed. And so Norm ended up coming the next day. And, you know, Norm is kind of the kind of person in town that most everybody would not talk to. You know, he's kind of a Riverbend client, if you know Riverbend in New Hampshire. And that doesn't bother me. Yeah, Norm's a person. And so, you know, church folk have a tendency to avoid, they just have a tendency to avoid street people because they're not like us. I tend to think Jesus would hang out with the norms of the world. So I have this like amazing compassion for all the norms on the street, probably because I don't fit the norm. And so, dad joke. So Norm and I have become pals. And I just wanted to throw that out there because it's so cool. Because now when I go through town, like if I stop to get a bagel sandwich or go to Live Juice, you know, by the way, those are not our sponsors, but we're certainly open to sponsoring the show. I see these people and we've struck a friendship through the prayer tent. And so anyway, I just wanted to throw that one in there because I've been building with Norm for 5 years and it was cool to see him get a shirt and he wore it the next day with his, you know, his Harley vest and all the pins on it and just classic. And it just makes me feel like, you know, because this work, as rewarding as it is, some of these people we never see again. Right. And they leave the festival. They don't follow up with us. We never see them again. So there are moments when I come home where I'm like, you know, what am I doing? You know, is this making any difference? And then a norm comes and you're like, you know what? We got to keep doing this. You know, so I wanted to throw that one in there.
Yeah. And it's cool. Even for me too, I used to work at the coffee shop downtown. And so now kind of the same thing, you start to get to know the community, you get to know the people you're around. And so people are starting to recognize, it's funny now I go to, you know, Target, the grocery store, and I'm seeing all these people that I've been seeing now for the last couple of years, and now they know that I do the prayer tent and so just it's kind of fun though once you start building community and know what that means to continue to the Lord's just giving me such a heart for these people in this town. It's crazy. And suddenly you're just, I mean, this girl, even I'll mention, she was a customer of mine. I have a few at the coffee shop, and one of them helped us fill the baptismal tank because we needed water, which I thought was just, she doesn't, I don't know what her relationship with the Lord is now, but she totally helped us out fill the tank. And another one of them came by my sister's lemonade stand last week, and I totally got to minister to her, and we're going to keep hanging out. And so I just, it's wild, like what happens when you just continue to build with the people, your neighbors, and just continuing to like love the people around you.
I think people can sense when you're trying to build a thing. Mm-hmm. They can sense when you're just trying to actually be in their life for no reason. Mm-hmm. And I, yes, there's like, they're done being marketed to. They're right. done being like tricked into coming to the building.
Right.
They don't, they just want answers for their junk. Mm-hmm. And like, it's almost like if you can stay in their life long enough to get to that point,
right.
the relationship becomes real. Like that girl you mentioned, help us fill the tub. I mean, I know she's going to be in our life.
Right.
I mean, we weren't there 4 minutes and she popped her head out of the window saying hi to Alicia. She could hear her voice while she was in bed.
Right.
I think she came down in her pajamas for crying out loud.
Right.
And then like she offered us a hose and like, right. now, mind you, that took me an hour last year because I had to use 5 gallon buckets on a moving cart from a restaurant. Mm-hmm. There was just favor. Like it was so sweet. And then she offered us her bathroom.
Yeah,
you know, which is nice to not have to use a porta potty or like I had to go change my shorts because day one was like 93.
Right.
You know, I was dripping sweat. Right. And so I don't know. It feels like we're starting to make a difference. You know, the picture the Lord gave me probably the week before was this massive tidal wave of 5 years of sowing on the streets mm-hmm. was like overtaking me. The wave was, you know, when you see the rip curl of a guy surfing through the rip curl. I was that guy. I was in the rip curl sailing through and I felt like the harvest was overtaking us. And it really felt that way this year, like as much adversity as we faced, because there was massive darkness this year, you know,
even in our placement of
they put us way out, you know, almost like you kind of felt like, geez, are we being reprimanded? But I was amazed, like our middle daughter, Lauren, came home from the mission field and her first comment to me was, Dad, you know, I haven't been to Concord in 7 months. And the first thing she noticed was all the identity crisis on right. the street.
That's true.
Now, granted, it was Pride Month, but I mean, there were people we prayed for and I got to be honest, I couldn't tell what they were.
Right. There were a few times I had to ask people I was with, like, I don't know if that was a girl or a boy. I don't know.
Right. Like you finish praying and then they walk away and you're like, I don't know. Mm. What was like, what was, hello? Was
yeah,
Michael,
was
Michaela Michael?
I was amazed that there were kids,
right.
young teenagers. You know, I got to pray with Anthony, with the young high school graduate, and Anthony called me over mm. and, Anthony's just a rock star on the street, you know, plus he brings his dog. Like who does outreach with
instant
a puppy?
Tent bait.
Yeah. So, Anthony's amazing. And so he called me over to help with this young man. And, so lately I would say in the last year, the Lord's been showing me signs over people's heads. Like the one I have in my office, like a wooden sign. And when the sign lights up, I know I'm supposed to tell him what the sign says. And so I said that over this young man and, he started sharing and he was kind of shaking his head. And then all of a sudden the Lord said to ask him about his eye gate and his ear gate. And so those are the eye gate is the things we take in from what we see. And the ear gate is music. And so I talked to him about his eye gate and he was kind of like, oh, interesting. I've never heard this before. And then I shared with him about his ear gate and all of a sudden he hung his head and was like, I said, you're listening to dark music. He goes, I am. Real bad. And I said, dude, stand to your feet right now. And I do this thing. I've been doing it for probably 4 or 5 years. The Lord gave me this simple little thing to do. I have people stand up and I have them name all the stuff that they've been carrying, whether it's suicide, depression, anxiety, porn, drug addiction, dark web, occult. I said, you know, we'll stay here for 30. I don't care if it takes you 40 minutes. Name them out. And then I have them picture Jesus standing in front of them on the cross. And I say, on the count of three, we're going to go through the cross together. And the second you do, all that stuff is going to lift off of you. So I did it with him. I said, jump to your feet. And he starts naming all the stuff. And he walks through. And he's like completely delivered.
Yeah.
He's beaming.
Right.
Then he goes on to tell me he used to go to church. His family used to go to church. He used to be spirit filled.
Wow.
And so we all start praying in tongues out of excitement. We just all start going for it. And of course, Anthony's like, you know, this is his favorite thing. So it was this beautiful, beautiful moment. And he probably stayed in the tent for 35 minutes. And he was so, you could tell, genuinely touched. And so I gave him my card. I said, hey, if you ever want to go to breakfast, I think he's local. And so I said, I'd love to treat you to Tucker's. Shout out to Tucker's.
Also not a sponsor.
Hashtag I get the TJ's Benny every chance I get, extra large with the hash brown. So I'm thinking of it now because I'm fasting today. Darn it. So I don't know. It was, there's so many special, and these people leave and you're just like, you're so undone.
Right.
You're just, if you're not weeping, you're just like, many times I just go sit down and just like, holy crap.
Right.
I can't believe he just told me all that. Yeah. Like, right?
Yeah. So no, true. We were actually, Alicia and I were actually standing at the edge of the tent, like watching or waiting for people to walk by. Alicia calls it catching them.
Catching them.
So we could actually see this happening and like seeing that guy stand up and like then his countenance totally change. And you're just like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like
he, that. And oh, and he kicked his shoulders back.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I said, did you feel that? He goes, something just left me.
Whoa.
And I thought, whoa.
Yeah.
So he got free.
Yeah.
And so I said to him, you got to shut the music off. You got to put worship on. Get off the dark web. Stop doing porn. I was calling him out.
Right. Yeah, and I added another one of those too, where you just, where it kind of messes you up a little bit. Me and my friend Becca got to pray for this girl. I kind of caught her, like Callie said, in the middle of the road and kind of brought her into the tent. And she proceeded to tell me that she was basically homeless. She was in an abusive relationship and she was afraid to end the relationship because she didn't have anywhere to go. And
I can't believe she was homeless. Like,
I know
she didn't look over 20.
She had to be, I don't know, maybe 16, 17, maybe. And it was just one of those moments when we started praying that the presence of God was so strong. I mean, she was actually physically trembling.
I saw her. She was crying, I think.
And yeah, and Beck and
I. She had shades on.
Yeah, Beck and I also, it was one of those like, man, I think I need to go walk this off because it was just so thick. But we totally, I just gave her
What do you mean
words.
When you say it was so thick? Like for people who don't know what that means,
oh,
that
yeah.
language.
So I just kind of feel like it's like just the tangible presence of God where you can just sense it. Like feels like a cloud or something. It just felt like you just feel that the heaviness, the weightiness, like a, almost like a blanket, or you feel the heat, or you feel whatever, however you feel that. It just felt like she was definitely trembling, visibly shaking.
She really was.
And
I was watching.
I could tell she had never experienced this before. She was definitely like, I don't know what's going on. Cause I was like, do you feel that? I asked her, do you feel that? And she said, yes, I do. And I said, well, that's the presence of Jesus. And she was like, whoa. Like you could tell she was like really undone by it. So Beck and I proceeded to pray for her, pray over her, give her these very direct words about just her situation and provision and this relationship and just even her identity. She had said in this relationship, she was the other person was just diminishing her worth, saying, you know, she's fat, saying she's all these things. And so I just told her she's a queen, she's royalty, she's worth it, all this stuff. And she was, you could tell she was just totally, she's like, nobody's ever said that to me before. And it was beautiful. It was one of those like, wow, I was totally undone. And I said, man, I feel like Jesus is after your heart. And she said, I think so. And so she received the Lord. We prayed with her to receive Jesus. She got saved. And you could just tell when she left, I did tell her about baptism. She didn't seem super comfortable with that yet, but
yeah, some people aren't, you know, they want privacy or,
right.
You know,
right. But it was so funny because I looked at Becca and she's just doing her like, you know, I don't know how to describe it.
Becca's getting touched by the Lord. She's got this like,
she's like,
her eyes are closed. I'm unaware, but I'm totally aware situation.
Both of us were like, help, I needed to go sit down. So it was just, it was amazing. It was just amazing.
I think she, well, I left the tent after you ministered to her and went for a walk. And then on my way back, she looked like she was heading back to the tent. I don't know if she came back, but
I did see her walk by again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think she definitely got really, really touched. You could tell even when she left. I mean, she didn't even seem super open to.
Yeah. Her friends were standing outside the tent. Mm-hmm. By this point, they're thinking, why is she in this tent?
Probably. Yeah. But she didn't even seem super like receptive at first. But by the end, she's like, can I give you a hug? And I was like, whoa, yeah. So she definitely, you could just tell that she was just getting absolutely blessed. And I really hope that I can see her again, because I think that there's definitely more for her for sure. And would love to follow up just on where she's at. So that one was really, really, really cool. Callie, I think, had another cool one even with the Samoan family.
Oh, yeah. I was just thinking about that.
Whoa. I think all of us were involved in that. Like eight of us.
That was like a full blown, like everybody was on this. So it's funny. You just said her friends were standing outside. And so it's even with the people that are, you know, they come in a group, they're part of a family. Like one person might be totally open and susceptible to that. And everybody else is like, let me just wait out here and see how that works for you. Like, first. I'll let you be that yeah. one. But there was actually a group of people.
They were on the other side of the street.
They were on the they were standing by the rock wall. Alicia had seen a girl on crutches with a torn up knee. And Alicia was like, oh, we got to get her. And so we were standing there, and somebody else in our group actually, before we could, you know, make the moves, somebody else in our group approached this young girl and said, you know, can I pray for you? What happened?
At the same time, I'm on the other side of the tent. I'm talking to my friend Levi, and the Lord starts highlighting the girl with the orange on. And I literally said to Levi, oh my God, that woman with the orange vest has to get in here.
Right. Which and was, then they were all together.
Then someone shows up and starts talking to them.
Right. So we're all like, it's like, and like honing in on this family. And so it turns out this woman had a torn meniscus or something. So they prayed for her. She was a friend of the family. And then, you know, they just kept walking, which is fine. Like they don't have to come into the tent to receive prayer. That's, you know, tent prayers for everywhere. But they kept walking, and now they're on the other side. And this other friend was now looking at the tent, and she saw the dream interpretation sign. And she was talking to her dad, and she's like, Dad, I want to do that. Dad, can I do that? And they stood over there for a long time.
They stalked us for a good 15 minutes.
Yeah, they were standing like across the street from the tent, kind of like low-key watching us, as in like acting like they were looking at this other tent.
Meanwhile, we're all like, get them, Lord.
Yeah. And somebody else from our tent, Susie, she was like, oh, I see.
Susie.
I see that girl looking at the tent. And she actually overheard her talking to her dad saying, Dad, can I do that? So Susie said this, I don't need permission. You hear that? That's an in. I'm gone. So she went, grabbed the daughter. Can I take her with me? Okay, thanks. And brought her to the tent for dream interpretation. So Susie and a couple of other people. Meanwhile, the dad's still across the street watching what's going on. The daughter's
I went up to him actually while they were praying for the girl.
Right.
And said, dude, like, do you want to come make sure your daughter's okay, or whoever that is. I want to make sure you're comfortable with us having her.
Right.
Just to see if there was an open door. And he was like, no, I want to give her space.
Yeah. And totally, totally respectful family. So she's in there getting her dream interpreted for a little bit. And then like a little bit later, the dad walks over. So I'm standing at the edge of the tent, and I have this thing. And this weekend was totally funny because I love Australians. I love Samoans. Like, I have like a deep passion in my heart. Whoa. Like
I thought you meant
the Lord has just placed these people in my heart. Like these people. Groups.
Callie's going to marry a Samoan.
Get out of here. Or you wouldn't be the first one to say that. So
she's going to cruise in on a surfboard in her wedding dress.
Oh my gosh, get out of here. I'd be face planting the whole way. Callie doesn't surf. Anyway, so then finally the dad comes over. Okay, this is taking a left turn. So the dad comes over and he's just standing there. I was like, hi, how are you doing? Like, introduce myself. He was still giving his daughter space, you know. And asked him, you know, if they were from here, all this stuff. Turns out he moved his family from the island to the States just for a better life. And we start talking about the winters, like just low key talk, nothing crazy. Then him and I were talking business for the next 25 minutes.
And sometimes that's all it is.
Right. And like, this is crazy because not a lot of people understand that the business. So I work in self-storage, you know, I do a lot of management things and not a lot of people understand that or real estate or that kind of thing. So he was asking me all these questions and I was like, Lord, you're going to have to give me a little bit more insight because I don't even know the depths of, you know, there's so much to what I do. Right. And so it was just great being able to hold that conversation with him. And then his daughter comes up and really wants to start going to church. So, you know, she's like, Dad, can we go? Can we go? He's like, oh, we'll talk about it. We'll, you know, and we didn't see them this Sunday, but that's perfectly fine. Like, it doesn't have to be, you know, they're not directly in Concord.
She got really ministered to.
She really did. And she was all excited, like, oh, can we go? And he's like, oh, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it, you know? And he wasn't, you could tell, like, by the time we finished talking, like, he realized, I think, that we were all real people. We weren't just, like, weirdos, like, doing this thing, you know? And I think that, you know, we'll see her. We'll see them. We'll see the whole family eventually, you know? Definitely. But it was just a beautiful moment. I'm still blown away. Like, how did I hold this conversation with this guy in enough time for his daughter, you know, to be ministered to and him not get like uncomfortable or sidetracked or, you know, whatever. Right.
That's how you know it's just totally supernatural.
Yeah, sometimes not about, you know, I think, you know, I've had a show on this before called Conversion versus Conversation. Mm-hmm. And that's what's really changed in me over the last, I would say, 18 months is I'm not trying to convert people.
Right.
I'm not going out trying to get to a number, trying to say we won 38 to the Lord, because most of those are just numbers. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to actually disciple people.
Right.
So my goal is to get them into my life for me to serve them. So part of this new model is really about having those conversations. Like I had a ton of those, Callie, and some of them I never got to pray because I could tell they weren't ready. They weren't open. We call that a house of peace. When, you know, like in Luke, where Jesus sends them out, he says, you know, look for the house of peace. You know, that's why I don't get discouraged when someone says, no, I don't want that. They're just not a person of a house of peace who's ready. And you have to discern that for yourself and go, don't take that personally.
Right.
You know, I've heard people be afraid of evangelism for this reason. Well, I don't know how to, you know, it's conversation.
Right.
You know, one of our friends, Johnny, came. And he was amazed at how disarming it was to do this.
Right.
He'd never done this before. You know, he's more on the introverted teacher side of things. And I knew it was going to stretch him. That's why I was begging him to come. And he couldn't believe how open people were to wanting prayer.
That's right. Yeah.
He was like, wait, we should all be doing this. I'm like, I've been saying this for 6 years. And so, there were so many, I just remembered even one, you know, from last year's, the prayer at Concord Market Days. If you go back and listen to it, I think I did that that show with Chuck. Mm-hmm. We talked about Banana Guy on that show. There was a guy dressed in a full banana suit. You see really weird things on the street. This guy was in a full banana suit, I can't think of the name of the banana company, but. Chiquita. I think like he even had a sticker banana. And like full banana suit. Like people were clearing out of the way from this guy.
Right.
And Chuck had like three conversations with him last year. Well, Chuck shows up and within 15 minutes, here comes Banana Guy from last year.
Right. He still had a banana.
Looked like a horn on the front of his head with like this pride cape. And he said, I'd been looking for Chuck. Like, you can't make this up. Like, Chuck's there 15 minutes, and here comes Banana Guy. We had a first time ever, we had a minion come in this year.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that Full was amazing.
Minion. But the best part was he had a bubble machine.
Right.
And the best part was Miles went to go grab his hand, and he had like this air machine inside, and there was no hand to grab.
It was like a stick, like the snowman sticks with the three fingers, and like Miles is grabbing like the middle, like part the middle of the hand, stick. Like holding it. God. And then you've got like Susie, like holding onto the window, like the front of
holding onto the window.
The best part was the guy couldn't speak English either. So it was like, you know, this is what we do. We just love everybody out there.
Right.
And it's just cool because I know That guy got touched. Right. Or woman. I don't know if it was a man or I think it was a guy.
I think it was a guy. Yeah. He was running around.
I got some pictures of it because that was our first ever minion in the protest.
It was pretty fantastic moment.
Yeah. It was pretty hype.
It was. I mean, there's times where you just get totally rejected. Like, man, I can't even begin to tell you the amount of times. Mm. And you're surrounded by a bunch of new age things too. We had some people from our team go to kind of approach.
Pounce.
So the psychic, there's three specifically that I saw with spiritual readings or crystals or stuff like that.
Yeah, we had three new agers around us.
Right.
The henna lady, the crystal lady, and then our neighbor who was manifesting multiple times.
Right.
The rock jewelry lady.
Right. I mean, even my friend Tori at one point, I was coming back for my lunch break and she said, go get that one. And I got there and she was like, you could tell she was already visibly upset. She'd been apparently, you know, previously pacing the tent, Googling us, talking to other people. She was very angry. And I was like, you know, what's going on? Can I pray for you? And she was like, oh yeah. So I'm a psychic and a lot of people judge me and people think I'm a Satan worshiper and I'm satanic and all this stuff. And I'm just sitting there kind of like, but I didn't say anything.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah. She was definitely very close. There was absolutely no open door whatsoever. And so there was a few of those, you know, some other guys from our team, Donnie and Al, they approached a different psychic tent and tried to get some of those guys. And so there's times when
I recognized one from 5 years ago. I actually know her because we've had multiple conversations. Her name is Pebbles.
Ali actually got to talk to her for a while as well.
Yeah, so we had Pebbles come in and receive prayer. She wanted to be a pastor. I don't understand that, but I don't know what transpired with her. I think Tori and Becca prayed with her. Yeah. I kind of gave that to Tori on purpose.
Oh, I saw that.
But I didn't tell her what it was. I knew. I was like, hey, Tori, come on, pray for this lady. And Tori was like, you know, had no idea. And then afterwards, I was like, by the way, she's a psychic. She's a psychic.
Yeah. No.
She was like, what?
Scott and Alicia are really good about be like, oh, yeah, come in the tent for prayer. I'm going to have so-and-so pray for you. And then meanwhile, you're like, oh, yeah, that was very an interesting time. Right. And they're like, oh, yeah, we know.
That was a pedophile. No big deal. So,
it's kind
of
fun, like, tossing the hard ones off to each other, though, in all honesty, because it's kind of a challenge. Like, right. You're kind of like, well, why don't you see what you can do with this one? Like, it's just kind of fun. It tests you.
So I want to close. It's been 50 minutes. So it's a long show. And I've probably got three more.
Yeah.
I would say this was our lowest attended festival in Concord ever. We probably had half the amount of people in that we normally do. But if you guys could maybe share something you learned before we close, and because a lot of people are afraid to do this. They've never done it. They don't think they're good enough. They don't know how to evangelize. They don't know how to even approach somebody and say, hey, dude, nice shoes. Like, where'd you get that shirt? So what, maybe you could share briefly, like something you learned. How is this different than, you know, I'm always amazed, like how different this is than a Sunday morning setting. Right. You know, there's no, you know, we did have music in the back, but, you know, you have to be quick on your feet.
Right.
You have to be able to receive rejection. You have to be extremely compassionate and kind. And so I always learn a ton, but I'd love to hear from you guys because the listeners listen to me all the time, to myself. So, which gets a little old. So Kelly, why don't you share? Because you're from Pennsylvania.
Okay. Perfect. Yes. I think I'm officially a New England transplant. I've been here for like 13 years. So
I know, but you still have that little Pennsylvania accent.
I do. It's with me for life.
And sometimes the boon comes out. Let's just admit it.
It just does.
The boon comes out.
It does. The boon. Yeah.
The boon. Yes. That's the boon. It. But that's also what makes Kelly so special. The boon.
Gotta love it.
The boon.
Yeah. So it's crazy. I was actually telling Alicia this Thursday night because I went into this and I went to ministry school. Like I did ministry school for like 3-4 years and, we would go out on the streets.
So you've been exposed to this before.
Yeah. So we would go out on the streets like every Saturday downtown area and like minister to people and just, you know, get to pray with people, talk to people. And I would always pair myself up with somebody else that would talk. And I would not.
Oh.
I would always, and then I'd end up in a coffee shop quote unquote, to use the bathroom for 2 hours. Like, because I'm like, I'm not the one, you know? Mm. And going into Thursday, I really like,
Cause you exploded in the tent, girl.
Well, this is wild. Like, that's what I was telling Alicia. Like, I came up here on Thursday and
I was not prepared for that. Like, you were like a tiger. You were like a freaking lioness. I was like, whoa. I mean, I know you had coffee and a breakfast burrito, which is requirement for prayer tent ministry, but girl, you were like lit up.
I was not prepared for any of that.
Like, it's almost like you got a new identity in the tent.
It was really powerful. Like the Lord, because I came up here and I was like, okay, don't think like you're just going to let somebody else do it. You've got to get out there. And I prayed the whole way up here and I was just like, Lord, like whatever you want, like I'm totally, you know, open and available and we'll just see. Like, I'm not limiting myself to, I'll let somebody else do it. I'll pair myself up with Alicia or I'll pair myself up with somebody else that's going to talk to everybody. You know, I was paired up with Alicia. However, it didn't go that way. And I just felt like, I was like, yeah, I can talk to anybody, you know? Right. And it was wild. Like the people that the Lord was bringing in and like the first, so Thursday was a very powerful day. A lot of things happened on Thursday.
Yeah. We had about 70 to 80 people come through on Thursday.
Yeah. Just on Thursday.
Just even in the tent.
And there was only like two or three of us there that did dream interpretation on Thursday. And so people would come in and be like, oh yeah, I want to dream interpret it. And so they'd be like, oh, Kelly. I'm like, oh gosh. So, and like, I really felt like alive. Like it was wild. Like the Lord was like, you're doing it. Like this is, you know, you're doing it. And he would just keep bringing people. And of course there were people that said, no, I'm good. Like a couple of people, oh, we don't pray. Oh, it's not Sunday. And it's like, okay. And then they walk away.
My favorite one is when they go, yeah, go ahead and do that. And they walk away.
Right. Yeah. No, that's the thing. And then you're like, Lord, bless them anyway. Like, you know, send somebody else. Like every time you mention prayer, or mention the Lord, like you're dropping a seed. You don't
so
have
many
to.
Times guys are like, walk away a minute. And I'm yelling at them. Right. No, I meant now.
Right. No, not later. Now.
Right.
But I think the Lord was really just, you know, pointing that out to me, like it can be anywhere. It can be anytime. You don't have to shrink back. Like it's the small things, you know, and it was great. I really enjoyed it. Friday was a little bit rougher than Thursday. And then Saturday it was like everything happened in the morning, the baptisms, salvation.
I'm always amazed after I come out of that setting Monday or Tuesday, it just, my first inclination, you go to the store I went to get something and I was like, it's so, you've asked so many people to pray. Mm-hmm. It just comes out of you. Mm-hmm. And my hope is that if we do enough of these, a bunch of us will maybe start to live this way.
Right. Yeah. Walk in it.
That
like,
would be
you can do it anywhere,
cool.
Anytime. It just doesn't have to be like a street festival.
Exactly.
Honestly, it was really cool watching Callie, like the progression, because we already kind of talked about this beforehand. Like, you know, I think both of us will openly admit that we have said verbally, like, this isn't really our thing. Mm-hmm. I've said this to my dad for 5 years.
It was actually yelled at me.
Yeah. So happened.
With angry eyebrows.
So yeah.
Dad, I told you kind of just, and I was like, oh
yeah. So I've definitely been
and duly
it's,
noted.
It's wild to see what the Lord did in both of us. Even this weekend, I just felt this like release almost like, I don't know what was happening. It was almost like the Lord kind of gave me this picture of it being a muscle, like anything else. It's like, I viewed myself as a worship leader or a leader in general or any of that stuff. But to evangelize to me seems like kind of like, oh, that's not really my deal. It's kind of uncomfortable, blah, blah, blah. But I'm realizing that the more you do it or work it out, just like anything else, like if I'm working out my arms, obviously they're going to get stronger. So I'm now realizing it was funny. Even one of the nights we went to the docks to go take a swim after, because we were like really hot. And it's funny.
Well,
I said,
you were both beaming like red tomatoes with sunburn.
We also got burnt. Yeah. And so anyway, but it's funny. I was telling Tori and Callie like, wow, isn't it funny, guys? Now we're out of this environment, but yet I'm still so spiritually aware right now. I can feel, I'm getting words for these guys on the docks right now. I'm feeling all this stuff. So it just heightens your awareness. Suddenly you're instantly like super aware of the atmosphere and you're super aware of everything around you. And you're just like, it doesn't have to be suddenly, you know, you're in the grocery store. Like my dad said, you're just in all these places and you're like, whoa, what's happening? So I feel like even for me, it's still kind of a new thing. Like I didn't even really participate much in these tents with my dad till probably last year. I wasn't really around. I didn't really want to. And I think now I'm realizing that it's really, if I know it's like for everyone else, but I feel like it's for me. And it's really been a huge encouragement. And if there's anything I learned, it's more that you just have to open your mouth. Because I felt like there were so many times it's like, okay, maybe there's times I don't have something right now, but I just know that I need to pray for that person. Like this person is getting highlighted. And there's times when I, yeah, of course you're a human being. So there's flesh stuff in there. You're scared, you're intimidated, you don't know what to say, but it's just that the more you do it and the more you just open up your mouth and you're, you know, Lord, use me, Lord, you know, just be obedient. And I think the Lord will really bless that. And he did for all of us. And even when we were just had, you know, again, what that verse that I shared, just absolutely no strength at all. Like his power just totally, totally proved
One of the things that really blessed me and I'm starting to identify this as part of my assignment here. It's taken me 6 years to kind of figure this out is we had all different streams in the tent. Right. Mm. So it felt like kingdom because we had Catholics in the tent. Mm-hmm. We had Baptists in the tent. Mm-hmm. We had, you know, I would consider you guys more from like a prophetic stream. Mm-hmm. I'm a house church guy. There's other people from different denominations. We had a word of faith people. Mm-hmm. We had all these different sects of beliefs in the tent, and yet we were all working together. We were tag teaming. Right. We were, so it lets me know that one, it's attainable, and two, that when your focus isn't on growing your thing, mm-hmm. You can work together.
Right. Absolutely.
And so when you let,
we all felt that
when you let go of your agenda for, let's call it church marketing. Mm. When you let go of that, all of a sudden when it's not about growing a thing, but releasing kingdom, anyone can do it. Right. And like, I love that, you know, Anthony cornered me for 20 minutes about the rosary. I thought it was awesome. Like that's really important to him.
Right.
And I value that in Anthony. Mm-hmm. I don't judge him. I value that. That's part of his makeup. And so the same way that I probably, you know, I don't know what my thing is, but anyway, I love seeing that and being in that because it's refreshing for me. It lets me know that there's possibility that we could actually, the Christians could actually start working together. You know,
right. We can do it.
Yeah, we can do it. So thanks for listening. I have a conference call in 8 minutes, so I have to go. thanks for tuning in. We love you guys. Have a great day.